Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Mr. Lee Gwotes, who is the Diocesan Director of Music for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. How are you, Lee?
I'm doing great, Margaret.
Now, you've been with us a couple of times before, but can you tell us about your recent travels? What have you been up to?
Well, I had the great honor of taking our cathedral choir, at least those that could afford it, to go to Ireland. And we originally were going to attend the International Eucharistic Congress, because the Pope was going to go there, but he wasn't able to. So instead of that, we went ahead and sang at various beautiful cathedrals throughout the country of Ireland. And it was just, you know, it's very, very true that Ireland is such a paradise. It's beautifully green. It's countryside. It's almost like, an experience of heaven, except when you drink the beer, of course, then... You don't go that way. But anyway, we sang at the Pro Cathedral in Dublin, beautiful, beautiful space, which was actually built with monies from Cardinal Cushing from Boston. And we sang at various other churches like the Shrine of Knock, and we went to Galway, and we sang at various medieval sites. And the choir was well received everywhere, from all the cathedrals to the pubs.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So they even sang at the pubs.
Well, how many people did you take?
We took a total of about 40 people.
Okay, 40 people. Choir members. And right. What were their ages?
Starting college age and up.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I can imagine that was an unforgettable experience.
It was. People that experienced us at the various places were just awed by the sound of what the choir can produce. They were also impressed with our ability to do all styles of music. And apparently many of the churches in Ireland are strictly doing only contemporary music. So they missed some of the traditional music, which they would hope to hear one of these days again in Ireland. But a lot of them were edified by it. And so,
well, that's an interesting fact.
Yeah, it was great. And so we were able to do that. There was one place we visited a castle, and we got out of the bus and we walked about a mile. And a mile down the road, we saw a big poster that said, "Cathedral Choir from Corpus Christi to perform today at 11 o'clock in the Gothic Church."
And did you know that?
No, we did not know that. You can imagine. I said, "That must be another Corpus Christi choir." And then I said to the choir members who didn't not have music, and I didn't have any music, "So let's just show up to the church and see who's there." We were about 5 minutes away from the 11 o'clock supposed start. And I thought, yeah, no one's going to be there. I went there. It was packed full of people.
Waiting for you?
Well, I went to the front of the church and I said, "What are you here for?" And a guy raises his hand from Ireland and he says, "We're here to hear the Corpus Christi choir from Texas." And I stared at the back of the choir and they all looked at me like deer in headlights, like, "Okay, what are we going to do now?" And one of them looks at me and says, "It's all in your hands, Lee."
So, but you made it happen, I'm sure.
We did. The choir performed. They performed by memory and we got a standing ovation. And
well, it's one thing to be under stress. And how beautifully people work under stress, at least most people.
Well, we prayed to the Holy Spirit right before we performed, and the Holy Spirit definitely helped us. So
wonderful.
It was great. The choir did magnificently. I think they didn't realize how much of the music they actually knew by memory.
Well, there you go. You've trained them well.
Well, I was very proud of them. They did us well, and we got a standing ovation, and then we went to the pub again.
Okay. Well, it's good that they were college and up.
college age and up.
So I have.
Oh, actually, we also went to Killeen, and that is many of our Irish priests come from that area of Ireland here in our diocese. And we met Father Killeen, who used to be here in the diocese. He heard that we were there, and he came to the Killeen pub, and met us there. And so it was good to see him. Also, we went to the place where Monsignor Kinlow was buried. And I think it's Glockomoro. All the names are hard for me, but it was a beautiful area, and we heard he was buried there.
So there's some relationships of some priests here in the Diocese of Corpus Christi, and then your experiences over there. And
that's right. So it connected to what we experienced here in Corpus Christi. Many of the Irish priests we know, we went to their homeland and their home cities and towns.
Well, that's a beautiful connection. Now, I have you here, Lee, to talk about the summer music workshop sessions. We have had the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
Right.
And where are we now? How are the choirs doing, by the way, with that?
Well, you know, it was interesting that we had all the confirmations at the cathedral, and which I thought was a fantastic idea of the bishop to bring all the parishes to the cathedral, their mother church. What was interesting is to see how many of them actually, first of all, were familiar with the New Roman Translation with the responses, and secondly, how many of them are actually singing the diocesan acclamations that we chose and encouraged all the parishes to sing. So it was interesting. We did find out that there are still some parishes that are not using the New Roman Translation Missal in our diocese.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because we could tell by the people's responses that...
That's right.
That yes. When they go, and also with you, no. We knew that there are some still challenges in that area. Also, we could tell whether they knew the Glory to God or the Holy Holy. And so it was good. And then it was also a catechetical experience, because I would tell the people there that you tell your music director or your priest that this is what you should be doing, you know, the new translation, as well as singing these acclamations. So we can become more Catholic in this diocese, more one.
You know, I agree with you. I was actually there at 99% of all the confirmations at the cathedral. And as director of religious education, I was able to see what's happening out in the parishes and really have a better awareness of what's working, what's not working. And you're right, we do have people that have caught on, and they're doing really well.
Right.
The
majority of them did very, very well. I was very impressed with their the way they responded, the way they sang in the cathedral. And as you know, before each of the confirmations, I asked how many of you this is your first time to the cathedral, and a large majority raised their hands. And so... And they all loved singing in the space, and they raised the roof off every confirmation. It was beautiful, beautiful experience.
But it was great after all the confirmations to look back at the choir and see how young the choir members were.
Right. We involved the youth from our youth chorale, 10 members who sang at pretty much the majority of the confirmations. And our intent was for people to have a beautiful experience, a beautiful music, led by our talented young singers at the cathedral, not only for them to be heard, but to assist people in singing and inspiring them. And that's what I understood happened. And so I thought all the confirmations were just so edifying. And people left there saying, oh, we want this to happen again.
Well, it was quite inspiring, because these are people the same age as those that were getting confirmed or about.
Right. And Bishop asked the kids who were being confirmed to look back and say, look, they're your age, which means you too can sing. So
there's no excuse.
So he went back. He told them to go back to your churches and tell them to form a choir, you know. So I don't know about that, how that was responding. But perhaps when I do these deanery workshops this August, then they can find out how that can happen, how they can form their own youth choirs.
Well, again, that was a great experience. I would have been one of those that would have raised my hand living in Corpus Christi for 20-something years before I went to San Antonio, and not once having been in the cathedral myself. So it's interesting that we're not, that we didn't experience that, and it's great that our kids are experiencing their confirmation masses at the cathedral. But going back to the summer, or starting off with the summer music workshop sessions, what are you trying to do with these workshop sessions?
Well, I think in our next segment, I'll go into detail about that, because I Everybody's been asking for me to do some more workshops, and we're going to see where everybody is in each of their parishes. And so I will be going to the NPM convention, National Pastoral Musicians Convention, later this month. So I will be bringing them back some new info, new materials, the latest. So that's why, even more so, in our next segment, I'll tell you about this wonderful opportunity to experience in their own deanery a summer music workshop with none other than me, I guess. Lee.
Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
If we must endure the heat of summer, at least we can enjoy some great Texas barbecue to help us forget about it. Saturday, August 5th, St. George Parish, 304 Crockett Street in George West, will be serving delicious South Texas barbecue with all the trimmings and fabulous homemade desserts from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. You can eat there or take meals home to the family. There'll be a live auction, country store and market, games for adults and children, and a great time for all. To hear all about it, call the parish office, 361-449-1893.
Thank you for staying with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Mr. Lee Gwotes, Diocesan Director of Music. Before the break, we talked about your wonderful trip to Ireland. We also talked about the confirmation masses that occurred at the cathedral. And now we're going to move on to the summer music workshop sessions. You had mentioned that some of us did get used to the translation of the New Roman Missal. Some of us have not. Talk to me about the summer music workshops, please.
Well, at the request of Bishop Mulvey, he went throughout the whole diocese when he was doing confirmation to the various parishes, and he said that, you know, a lot of the parishes really need some catechesis in the area of liturgical music, and would hope, well, he's actually hoping I would do this all last year on top of the confirmations, but, you know, miracles can't happen in 1 year. So
Baby steps.
So this coming month, in August, I will be presenting three workshop locations. This will be summer music workshop sessions, which will pretty much cover various concerns of music that would concern whoever is in charge of music at the local parish. And so who is this for? It's going to be for the leaders of song at each Mass. It could be the person who is in charge of music at all the Masses or the one Mass. And then it's going to end with all the choir members and singers coming for the last hour for a vocal singing fundamentals session with myself. So our intent is to first of all, you know, see who's out there, but present at a location that is close to them in proximity so they don't have to worry about traveling far. I think August is a good time because this is the time when everybody thinks, okay, I have to plan for the coming season, what's coming up. And so that's why we're doing it now in August, because this is the time when everybody starts planning.
Now, may I ask, if you were to give a sales pitch, why is it so important for choir members to receive appropriate training, to go to rehearsals? You lead us in worship, and we need appropriate music. We need the appropriate translations. Can you give me your sales pitch?
Well, the main thing is we do this all for the glory of God.
There you go.
You know? And we want to do our best. And if I know I have the skills to enable somebody to sing or to make music, then I would want to give them the best techniques that I can make sure that they can manage, something practical. And just like the readers had to be real versed on the texts that they will read for the scripture, the liturgical musician has to be well prepared. First of all, hopefully have the talent to sing or to play an instrument. But if they do so, they need to do it well. And so they need to be prepared well. And that is why I have these workshops. There are a number of parishes that don't even know the priority of which parts of the Mass to sing. They think that all they have to sing is an entrance hymn, an offertory, a communion, and recessional. That's it. No, we're gone from that. And so this workshop will explore a priority list of acclamations that should be sung during the Mass. And then we're going to check to see, I'll teach them how they can teach the person in the pew how to sing. A lot of the parishes here think that the only people that should be singing are the choir members, and the people that are in the pews are the spectators. But that is not what the Vatican II documents want.
Exactly.
Everybody has to be fully active and participate. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when the choir and musicians can sing by themselves and make the music very, the liturgy very beautiful, and hopefully give a foretaste of heaven and not hell. But the person in the pew is just as important. And that's why before some of the confirmations, I would encourage all the people that if there's music in the order of worship, if we ask you or our cantor or song leader animates for them to join in, join. Even if you have to mouth the words and lip sync, at least you're participating with your lips, okay?
So are you saying that I have to sing the Mass? I have to participate?
It's just part of the norm. It's just like speaking and singing is part of the norm. Now, it's not a part of our tradition. That's the problem. Part of our challenge is that a lot of the adults in the pews were never taught how to sing in school. And so that has not been a priority. And this is a national challenge for us because a lot of this music education in our Catholic schools needs work. And if we are to have good liturgy, music needs to be done well. So if singing is part of that, we need to train them how to sing.
I would agree with that.
From like grade one.
Well, I would agree with that because I personally don't enjoy hearing my voice. But I can say that at Mass, I do give my all for the glory of God because that's my way of praising God. And the fact is that my voice intermingles with everyone else's voice. And so I don't hear myself. It all sounds beautiful.
Right. It blends very, very well. Though we do have some challenges in some of our parishes where the acoustics are not very good. It sounds like you're singing in a Kleenex box. So let me tell you, I mean, you wouldn't want to sing in a closet full of absorbing material because your voice doesn't sound good. Like in this studio, my singing voice would not sound good. But in a reverberant space like a shower, people sing in the shower, you notice, because
yes,
they like the sound. But there, we need more spaces that enable people to sing and inspire them to sing and doubles their sound. Like in our cathedral, we are blessed with beautiful acoustics. And so that's been a challenge. But electronically these days, you can, for example, the choirs can be mic'd and add reverb sound so that they can sound like they're in a beautiful space. So that can be corrected electronically.
So there's a lot of technicalities in just providing music for worship.
Yeah, if you're going to involve a choir, but of course you can't mic the people in the pew, but if they hear and are led by a nice sound, they'll be inspired to join in singing with the group that's leading it.
Now, I like how you mentioned that the choir director should also lead the person in the pew because, again, we're not there simply to listen. We're called to active participation.
Right.
So would you suggest then before Mass for them to just offer some training or some technique, let's say?
Well, I don't necessarily think – I think technique – could be just for those that specialize in the ministry.
Okay.
I'm thinking that perhaps how to teach a song, you could have the people hum it, because a lot of people can hum.
Or even read the notes, just as simple as
they
going
go
up
and
down.
Or just read or teach phrases to the people and have them echo it, mm-hmm. but encourage them. And it'll catch on after a while if you do that. Spend about 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes before each Mass, to go over something of the liturgy and encourage people to participate and evaluate them, you know. Say, you did well last week. Let's see if you could do better next week.
So that encouraging word is important.
Right. The other thing is there's a lot of Masses at different parishes. I mean, everybody has different Masses. What I think is a sad practice is that there's different music done at each Mass, and particularly to the acclamations, like the Glory to God, the Holy, Holy, the More Acclamation, the Great Amen. Really, ideally, those should all be the same at all Masses.
And you know, and we do know that Bishop Mulvey does want consistency.
He does, but I think in your own parish, if you want to unite, if someone goes to the 9:30 Mass, they'll have the same music at the 12:30 Mass. So that the people will join in. The more they hear these acclamations, they'll join in song. It's like singing Happy Birthday. They remember that melody all the time because they sing it so often.
And it's less confusing.
Correct.
So they'll freely want and willingly want to participate because they know what they're doing.
Right. So I'm encouraging music directors to plan it, though they may have four or five different Masses, that they all should sing the same acclamations that we're talking about at each of the Masses. They could do other music and other styles of on the other parts of the Mass, like at the Offertory of Communion, but for those other parts, it's important to unify the people and feel like we're all one within the parish itself.
Lee, I'm going to strongly encourage that everyone that's in the choir, choir leadership, cantors, the pianists, everyone that is involved formally in choirs participate in these summer music workshops. The fact is that I have my daughter in your choir. I want her to experience your expertise. And you also did a workshop at the ministry conference that was phenomenal with practical applications for music and musicians. Tell us once again when you have these workshops.
Well, the first one will be Saturday, August 4th from 9 to 12 noon at St. Pius. And that's going to be for the Central, Southwest, and Western deaneries. And then we have one scheduled for the Beeville Five Points Refugio deaneries, Saturday, August 11th from 1 to 4 p.m. And that will be at St. Peter, Prince of the Apostle Catholic Church. And our final one will be in Kingsville, Alice deaneries. We haven't yet a location at this time to be announced.
And finally, how do people register?
Well, at this point, if they would contact our music office with the Diocese of Corpus Christi at 883-4213, extension 31, and talk to Rachel.
Thank you so much, Lee, for being with us.
Glad to be here.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's sacred moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Forgetfulness can be a blessing or a curse. Without the ability to forget, we would quickly go insane, overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information we would retain from each minute of every day. Imagine remembering everything you experienced today. Unwinding at the end of the day would be unbearable. We would be afraid to ask each other, "How did your day go?" This ability to forget is certainly a blessing. However, there are other forms of forgetting that can be harmful. For example, many house fires start because somebody forgot to put out... because someone forgot to put away the iron. When forgetfulness becomes a serious problem, there are usually warning signs, like losing your car keys, or forgetting where we parked, or the color of the car. Some of these moments of forgetfulness are temporary, while others indicate a need for serious concern. Forgetfulness can intrude into every part of our life. It occurs at work and at home, between workers, and within the family. Too often in marriage, spouses become forgetful, not about the daily things they do, but about the important things in marriage, like the promises they made to each other and God before their family and friends. The following words should be etched upon the hearts of every couple and echo in their memory. Have you come here freely and without reservation to give yourselves to each other? Will you love and honor each other for the rest of your lives? Will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and His church? These words should burn brightly in the hearts of every married couple, lighting their way through the hardships that they will encounter. Have you come here freely, not under pressure, sure that this is what you want to do? And without reservation or hesitation, that there is nothing that will take away your desire to be with this person who will be your spouse? Have you come here freely to give yourselves to each other, to make a complete and total gift of your entire being to this other person, and to receive their gift of self to you? This is a giving that holds nothing back, a giving that is done in love and for love. It is a giving that neither expects or requires anything in return. Couples, remember that you are called to love and honor each other. To love someone means to want only the very best for them. It means that we seek only to build them up and to never tear them down. Honoring calls for us to respect them, to hold them in great esteem, and we are to do this as long as we live. Accepting children lovingly from God implies that children are a gift from God and not a right to be demanded from science or nature. Should God grant us this gift, we have an obligation and responsibility to teach them about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Responding to the Pharisees who were asking about divorce, Jesus said, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh'? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." May your sacred moments be filled with memories that strengthen your calling, and may you know the blessings of God all the days of your life. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my wonderful guests, Mr. Lee Gwotes, Diocesan Director of Music for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you would like more information about the Summer Music Workshop sessions, please call Rachel at 361-888-6520, extension 31. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.